Hello and welcome. I'm glad you're here because today we're talking about a smarter way to assess and treat problematic phone use. Practical, hopeful, and grounded in real life. After a decade in phone use therapy and over 500 assessments, I kept seeing the same thing. The best outcomes came when clinicians read the patterns behind the numbers. They paired old-school clinical wisdom with new objective data. Not research lab perfect, real life. Here's the reality check. About 1 in 3 adults in the U.S. says they're online almost constantly. Phones aren't just tools anymore. They're tiny universes. Work, social life, news, comfort, distraction, all in your pocket. If our assessments don't catch up, we miss the real story. The big shift, assessment has outgrown screen time totals. It's not just about minutes, it's about meaning. The when and the why often matter more than how much. Clinicians who combine self-report, objective logs, and a good interview are seeing better outcomes. And it tracks with what I've seen in the room, a pitfall to avoid. Early diagnostic criteria help start the conversation, but using them alone now creates a lot of misses. Scales are guidance, not gospel. They should sharpen intuition, not replace it. So what does a strong assessment look like? It has layers, multiple lenses. Pair a simple self-report scale with 2 weeks of objective usage logs, a focused clinical interview, and what you observe in the room. This multi-method approach dramatically reduces errors. No more getting fooled by a motivated underreport or a raw total that hides an evening binge. Functional impairment. Ask, is this use disrupting sleep, work, relationships, or mental health? If yes, step in. Frequency can mislead. Some people rack up hours reading or working. Others only use their phone 3 hours a day, but those hours wreck sleep and nuke a marriage. Function tells you what matters. Patterns, not just symptoms. Problematic use is a coping pattern with triggers, relief, and predictable escalation. One common pattern, the digital sunset. A client holds it together all day, then between 8 and 11 p.m., usage spikes. The daily total looks fine, but that window shatters sleep and mood. Late night use is far more disruptive to sleep than the same use earlier. If you only look at totals, you miss the trapdoor. Behavior in the room. Do they check their phone in session? Keep it in their hand like a talisman? Eyes dart to it when it buzzes? Those micro moments correlate with severity. Your observation is data. Baselines and change. Pick a measure and track it. Progress often moves in 6 to 8 week rhythms. A strong start, a wobble, another lift. When you expect the wobble, you coach through it instead of calling it a failure. Let me put this into a story. Meet Alex. Daytime is organized. The phone stays away during work blocks. But at 9:15 p.m., the wheels come off. One video becomes 10, a quick news check turns to doom scrolling. Midnight hits, then 1. Sleep craters, mornings drag, afternoons feel behind, which makes the nighttime spiral even more tempting. If we looked only at Alex's daily total, we might shrug, but map the pattern and the problem lights up. The intervention isn't ban the phone, it's a redesigned evening. A digital sunset at 9, a to-bed ritual that competes with the urge, and a plan for the emotions that show up when the scrolling stops. We track sleep and mood weekly and watch that 9 to 11 spike flatten. It's not magic, it's matching the method to the pattern. Another common pattern, compensatory use. Someone cuts social media, great, but news or gaming triples. Total hours barely change. Why? The phone is serving a need. Soothe anxiety, escape stress, feel connected, avoid a tough conversation. Pull one app out of the Jenga tower and the tower rebuilds elsewhere. That's why you ask, what is the phone giving you in this moment? Once you know the function, you can offer alternatives that stick. How do you start a comprehensive assessment without overwhelming anyone? Keep it simple and humane. Begin with a conversation that treats the client as the expert on their life. Try. Tell me the story of your phone this past week. When did it help? When did it hijack you? What happens right before your toughest moments with it? And what do you do right after? If I could change one thing about your phone relationship, what would you feel in your body, your mood, your day? Then bring in objective data. Start with logs, not opinions. Pull 2 weeks of real usage. Nothing fancy, just peaks and valleys. Overlay sweep, energy, and mood. You're not arguing about too much. You're looking at the same picture. In session, notice the small stuff. If the phone sits face up and gets stealth glances, name it gently. I'm noticing the phone is pulling your attention even here. What's it like to feel that tug? That moment reveals what the phone represents. Comfort, control, connection, avoidance, and where the nervous system is living. Define functional targets clearly. Instead of use it less, try protect sleep. Phone off the bed and off the bedside table. Be fully present during dinner 3 times this week. No work email after 7 p.m. Each target maps to a life area, sleep. Relationships, mental health, work. So you measure what matters. Set up regular check-ins. Every 2 weeks, review the same metrics the same way. Expect the dip around week 3 or 4. Normalize it. This is where novelty fades and old triggers resurface. That's not failure. That's the work. Adjust and continue. And please remember, the goal isn't to win against a phone. The goal is to help a human meet their needs in healthier ways. When we see phone use as a story rather than a moral failing, everything changes. We stop shaming and start solving. Clinically, this deepens the alliance. You become co-investigators with a shared language of patterns, and change feels possible. If you're listening for yourself, try this at home. Map your last 2 weeks. Circle hotspots. Ask, what was I feeling? What was I avoiding? What would have helped instead? Design one tiny change that serves that need without pulling you into the vortex. 2 takeaways to carry into your day. 1, numbers tell a story, but not the whole story. Use them to open a conversation, not close it. 2, timing is everything. Pay special attention to the evening window. Protecting those hours can transform sleep, mood, mornings, and confidence faster than any blanket rule. All the deep dives, references, and step-by-step methods are in the written guide. Recognizing symptoms, common diagnostic mistakes, and exactly how to start with 2 weeks of objective logs. We're not in black and white anymore. You can see in HD, patterns, context, function. And with that clarity, you can help yourself or your clients make changes that actually stick. Thanks for spending this time with me. If this sparked something, explore the full guide. Try one small experiment this week and notice what shifts. I'm cheering you on. And I'll be here for the next conversation.